Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome back.
I say 5 in the morning.
It's 5 in the morning.
I don't know why I'm yawning.
It's 8 p.m. It's not 5 in the morning at all, but welcome back to Probably a Podcast. We have a very special guest, a very special bushy guest, James.
Hey, guys.
I said, James, will you be my podcast?
I said, I hear you, mama.
So I have decided that we are going to make this a health and wellness absolute motherfucking smash. And you know what? A lot of people would have thought you should have done this before summer, but fuck that. Fuck hot girl summer.
No, yeah, exactly. Now it's freaking time to get in shape for Christmas, for Father Christmas.
Let's have a for Father Christmas. Do you guys know that they call UK people call Santa Claus Father Christmas?
Yeah. It's so much nicer than Santa
it's
Claus.
Cute. Santa Claus.
Father Christmas. I'm actually bringing out a program to get in shape for Christmas, which is coming in a few weeks.
Listen,
so that's gonna be good.
We can just call this a healthy girl fall. Everyone live your best life, and this is just gonna be. There are so many questions, and James obviously is engulfed and has his own business with health and wellness and all of the things of the sort. I am a newcomer to it all, so I always daily have questions for him. But I was like, you know what? Let me ask the masses what your questions are. You guys are getting this for free, honestly.
There's some good questions as well, and also. Just as a disclaimer, this isn't going to be boring at all. Like everyone thinks, like when they hear about fitness and health, they're like, oh, God, oh, here we go. Like, what can I eat? But I promise you, it's going to be like fun, lighthearted and simple and straight talking.
No, I actually genuinely enjoy everything you talk about. The only thing that I literally wrote on here, womp, womp, womp. I literally wrote my notes, bump, womp, womp, is I want to know nothing about it. Someone was like, can he explain macros? And I literally wrote, please, no. No, actually, please do not do that. That's like getting on here and explaining fractions. So like if you have a fun, easy way to explain that, sure. But otherwise, like I was excited about these questions as well. I've literally just pulled questions from the masses.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I just have to make this about myself for like 2 more seconds. What'd you think about our live shows?
Oh, they were. That's the first.
I don't
live
know why
show.
I said our live show. It literally was
your
mine.
Live show. Your live show. I was very much in the audience. They were incredible. I mean, obviously, I've only been to the very first one you did, your Nashville one. But you guys, like, the audience here is just nuts. Like,
yeah.
Everyone was going wild for you, packed house.
Makes me so happy.
It was good. And also, I think lots of people have said this, but Shannon is a complete natural up on stage. Like, it's not like you could tell you weren't nervous. You were so comfortable up there.
I was nervous.
I mean, like when you got going, it was just so natural. It looked like you've been doing it for years. So.
Producer Courtney was like, I watched you. It was during the Nashville show. And obviously I just got back from DC and New York. And I can talk about that another time too in a solo pod. But after the New York show, I just remember I got off stage. Immediately I saw Producer Courtney. We like embraced. I was like, oh my God. I mean like literally like sister. And I was like, oh my gosh. That was incredible. And she was like, Shannon, I watched you hit your flow. She was like, I watched you go from like, oh my gosh, this is my first live show. Oh my gosh, I'm on stage. What do I do? Not even what do I do? She didn't say that. She was just like, I watched you go from like, I'm walking on stage to whoa, this is like where I'm meant to be. And I'm not sure I still incredibly feel that way. I still walk it on stage like, what the fuck? But then I swear to God, you guys, the second I see y'all and y'all start reacting and like laughing and giggling and talking to me on stage, I immediately am like, oh my God, the audience is filled with my people. And whenever I even said I was nervous about the podcast, all of you guys messaged me like, we're literally coming for you. So like, yeah, why would you be
exactly,
nervous?
Exactly.
So it's been really nice and really great. And the New York and DC shows were really great. And actually the I switched the meet and greets to be before the show. And that has been so helpful because like I meet you guys and I just like chat with y'all. And I'm like, honestly, these people are like, please, like don't hug me, because they're probably not thinking don't hug me, but like I'm literally like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you guys are here, thank you so much for making me feel calm. And it really does, it just calms me and makes me like feel really happy. So anyways, that's a little live show update.
That's awesome. And awesome.
I've already asked him his thoughts like 18,000 times. I'm like, what did you think? So I already knew the answer to that, but I figured we'd share it. Okay, so let's dive in. Less about me, more about health and fitness. But I've been on my health and fitness journey.
You've learned a lot. You went to the gym with Taylor by yourself.
Oh my God.
Just those two. And she was going, you tell the story. You were showing it. People thought you were a PT.
I don't think anyone.
Well, maybe not that far.
You did that just now, but I don't think anyone thought that.
I retract that statement.
They were probably like, literally like, what are these two girls doing? But it was funny because I've been going to the gym with you and then Taylor has been being personal trained, but there were a couple of things like that I would be like, oh, hold your back straight a little bit on this one. And I'm like, look
but
at
when
me.
I see, like, and I know I've spoken about this a lot, but when I see other people in the gym who maybe aren't that familiar or they're new, and let's say it's two girls or two guys or gonna go, whatever, and they're helping each other out and they're like giving each other tips. Like even, you know, the gym we go to, there are lots of younger kids in there and stuff. Although sometimes when it's packed, they're a bit annoying because they're like posing in the mirror every 2 seconds. And I'm like, dude, you're like 19, chill out. But
they can pose in the mirror.
But in my head, I'm also thinking, but you know, like, good for you. You and your mates are in the gym lifting weights, like talking about, you know, technique. I'm like, that's so good.
It's so true, because there's a lot of people who, this actually wasn't a question, but I'm just going to throw it out there because it's not written down. And I hear a lot of people be like, I feel like I was in the gym. I feel like everyone's looking at me. And I told Taylor, was like, dude, how do you even know what to clip onto this? Like, what's it called?
The cables.
And I was like, I don't know. I just watched James. I'm probably still doing this wrong, but I had to get out of the mindset that everyone was looking at me being like, this is what I thought in my, again, my brain is a prison. And in my brain, I was like, everyone is looking at me being like, ho ho ho, she doesn't know what to do with these cables. But yeah, like, nobody's thinking that.
Literally nobody's thinking that.
Everyone's like, oh, she's using the cables now. Okay, I'll use them in a second. Like, that's probably the only thing they thought about that machine.
Yeah, and naturally in the gym people are resting in between sets, and that's either people are on their phone, they're having a little look around. I like to have a little look around and a glance, but I mean obviously everyone has an internal judge in their head, but no one's going, what is she doing? Oh, what is he doing? He shouldn't be here. Like, people are just cracking on with it.
I think genuinely, if you're in the gym for the most part, yes, of course, there's going to be a bad seed out of everyone. I'm sure someone's like, no, I had a horrible experience. There are bad seeds everywhere, but for the most part, especially speaking from your standpoint, you are genuinely always like, look at them. Like we said, there's like a lot of like, I feel like we kept accidentally going to the gym at the time that like high school or college had just let out. I don't know what it was, but like there was always like a lot of younger people there. And James is always like, look at that kid. He can't be more than 14. Good for him. Like, it's honestly really, I don't think anyone is as hard on you as yourselves. And I went to the gym the other day with Taylor by ourselves. We kept saying multiple times, like, who are we in the gym together? Look at us. One, it's so much more fun to, no shade, I love you, but like, it's so much more fun to go with one of your girlfriends and just like,
of course,
like crack on. Like, oh my God, crack on. Like, I'm a fucking British bitch. Crack on. Let's just go with me and Taylor cracking on. Like, what the fuck? But you know, just like go have fun, boof around, and just like genuinely like get your shit done and help each other. And that was just like a fun thing for me. And I don't think anyone was looking at us like, what, look at these dumb bitches. They're probably like, oh, look at two friends at the gym.
100%. And having a partner is always nice. It's that accountability in it, isn't it? And it makes you feel a bit more confident. But everyone was once a beginner in the gym. So
yeah, let's get on with the questions. Okay. Immediately, there were a lot of questions about like your thoughts on American versus UK. And I think we've delved into that a lot. And I think it's pretty obvious that like, oh, duh, in America, we allow a lot more shit, a lot more processed food. And I feel like you'll answer that within a lot of these questions. So I'm going to skip the just really generalized question of the difference between the UK and America. And it'll probably be answered more so in these questions. But this was, what are your thoughts on, and I love this question because I have thoughts on this too, just from being friends with Taylor's crunchy ass. What are your thoughts on things being listed in grocery stores as quote unquote organic? And is it a hoax?
When it comes to organic, I think it's not quite so black and white, because you have a lot of things that genuinely are organic, and that means that they've been grown in a way that's natural and close to earth. However, the thing with food marketing is there are so many products out there that are completely misleading and false advertising, and big companies get away with it because it's all about money. So for example, you can, if you have like, let's say, wild fish and organic fish, you want to go for the wild fish because the wild fish means it was literally in the sea, in the wild. Organic could still mean it's being fed organic food.
Yeah, so
right?
I've learned this about fish. And listen, here's the thing too. Eating extra, extra healthy is just simply going to be more expensive. So don't beat yourself up if you're like, oh my God, I went to the grocery store. So the words that we try to stay away from with fish in regards to like us buying a cut of salmon is farmed. But this is what it'll say. It'll say organic farmed.
Yeah.
But that still means, like James said, that it was fed a shit ton of stuff to pump it up, make it bigger, whatever.
Yeah.
So you want to go for the wild caught.
Yeah. And there are things with like wild fish that is going to be more expensive. There are definitely, and I'm actually going to do a lot more of this on my socials, going into supermarkets, picking out items and showing you, right, this is better than this. This is the reason why. And then this is a cheaper option and it's actually the same as this. So it's a minefield out there, and it makes it, and it is difficult, especially here, because you guys have so many more options for every single type of food.
Right.
You've got like 6 or 7 to look at, to pick from. So, short answer is organic doesn't always mean it's
good.
Better.
Yeah. And I think I've learned that too. I've like, I used to be, because me, what do we know about me? I am the consumer. It is why people go to school for marketing, because I will fall for anyone's shit. Mm-hmm. And now when I read something that's like organic, I'm like, well, let me look at this, because like organic doesn't mean that it's not packed full of sugar, that it's not packed full, like granola is a very hard thing to find that isn't actually packed full of sugar. And I've just gotten over it. And I'm like, whatever, fuck it. My fucking granola is going to have some sugar in it.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Like I think we just need to, one, not beat ourselves up about too much stuff, but do be kind of more aware that everything that just packaged with the word organic on it, it's like, what fucking isn't these days labeled as organic?
Yeah. And for example, if you have eggs, like I noticed you bought some organic free range eggs home, and I bought some free range eggs. The organic ones were like $1.50 more, but they're not going to be that much better than free range, you know,
me.
Eggs. So
I am the consumer.
So that's a prime example of actually when you can just save $1.50 and just buy free range eggs.
Okay, so got it. So I grabbed the one that said organic free
exactly.
range, and you got free range. But
because in your head, it's ingrained, organic is better.
Yeah, it's a marketing scheme.
It's clever.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you guys just have to delve into it. But I did want to say, like, side note, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, but like, we can't, like, we're in a really happy and lucky position to be able to afford. I don't know though. Actually, we stop fucking shopping at Whole Foods for everything. We buy our meat and like some things, but it's too much sometimes. It's so expensive.
And especially, and again, it's for me, like spending pounds here, your food is so much more expensive than in the UK. It's obviously relative to like salary and inflation and stuff, but buying a steak at Whole Foods for $23 is nuts. I mean, it tastes freaking delicious, but there are ways that you can buy good steak. Like when I went to the farmer's market, I bought steaks for $13 free, you know, grass-fed steaks.
I think just try to be conscious and try to be aware of it, but like don't beat yourself up about it, because your whole kitchen is not going to have fucking, unless we literally grew this shit ourselves, like we're not going to have 100% perfect lives. Try to eat healthy. You know what's healthy. You know what's not healthy. Try not to fall for marketing schemes, but don't beat yourself up over every single
little thing. Because every single one of us eats processed food sometimes, you know, fast food, and doesn't always pick the healthiest choice. If you did, it's incredibly exhausting and incredibly tiring if you're living that way all the time. And people do it. But as long as, you know, the majority of the time you're just trying to make healthy, conscious decisions, then you'll be in a very, very good place.
Yeah. Listen, at one time or another, we have all needed a little financial help, and take it from the gal who was basically doing literally anything to get money when she needed it. I get it. Listen, I've been there where the paycheck is almost in, but in the meantime, you need another option. I, out of everyone, know how intimidating finances can be. Listen, it's a finance podcast, but Dave makes it easier with interest-free extra cash advance, a fee-free goal tracking, and easy ways to find a side hustle to make more money. And listen, I was the queen of side hustles. Remember when I learned on YouTube how to install hair extensions and I was doing them in my living room? Yeah, pretty sure that was illegal, but whatever. I wish I had Dave back then. Dave is the banking app that is leveling the financial playing field. And when you download Dave, you could get up to $500 in 5 minutes or less. No credit check, no late fees. It's all a part of Dave's extra cash account. Advance money that you need with no interest and then settle up later. So whether you need to get groceries, fill up your tank, or just catch up on bills without having to wait for your next paycheck, listen, Fridays come slow. Dave is your answer, baby. You even build up your credit when you settle up on time, okay? And it was really hard for me to build credit before I bought my house, so trust me when I say good credit matters. So download Dave today at dave.com/probably. That's dave.com/probably. You can get up to $500 in 5 minutes or less. No credit check, no late fees. Just download the Dave app now or go to dave.com/probably. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Eligibility criteria and instant transfer fees apply. Banking services provided by Evolve, member FDIC. I had so many questions about this. So there must be some sort of like phenomena going on right now, or I don't even know why I said the word phenomena. I think I just wanted to say that word. I think there might just be like a lot of discussion around intermittent fasting. And then specifically it was like questions about intermittent fasting in regards to women. Mm-hmm. Like just like some people were being like, I don't know if we should intermittent fasting in regards to women's health. So mm-hmm. like, what are okay. your thoughts?
So intermittent fasting has been around for ages. I joke that it's basically just skipping breakfast, but and it is becoming a bit of a trend at the moment. Lots of my clients are talking about it and lots of them do it, and it's great for certain reasons. So I'm going to explain why very quickly. So imagine all intermittent fasting is, or fasting is just a long period of time that you're not eating. So for example, the reason why it works for a lot of people from a weight loss perspective is because you are now suddenly cutting out an entire meal in the morning, aka breakfast. So let's say you end your fast at 1 p.m. That's your first meal. And then your last meal is at 7 p.m. So you have suddenly reduced your eating window to just 6 hours. So you've got to eat within 6 hours. If that window was open to like, you know, a usual day and you had 12 hours to eat food, you've got another whole 6 hours to eat a whole load more calories. That is why from a weight loss perspective, any diet works from a weight loss perspective because it ultimately reduces your calorie intake, right? So that's it from a weight loss perspective. Now, the issue is these days is you've got all of these intermittent fasting so-called experts. Most of them just have books that they want to sell and publish. And you've got to be mindful of that when you hear these like very extremist views on things. It's often because they have an ulterior motive. But the thing that everyone is talking about at the moment is this thing called autophagy, which is basically when your cells reuses old and damaged cells. So like repairs itself by themselves without any food. Because obviously when we have food, like, you know, your muscles and all of your organs and everything are using energy from the food to repair themselves. So it's this whole thing of like, oh, if I'm fasting, my body's actually healing itself. Now, there's been evidence to show that... because it's like regenerating.
That's interesting.
Without the need of, you know,
is that
food.
True?
And so this is the thing is, you can achieve that very same thing just by doing a very boring, simple calorie deficit and just reducing your calories. So you don't need to fast to achieve that.
When I first met you, you talked about a calorie deficit a lot and I actually didn't know what it is. Can you explain what a calorie deficit is?
A calorie deficit is when you are burning more calories than you're consuming,
right?
Or consuming less calories than you're burning. That is the only way you can lose body fat create that energy deficit. So so that's where all these, and again, you've just got to be mindful of these people who are throwing these like words around and talking about autophagy and this and that and cell regenerating. Like, you don't have to do intermittent fasting to achieve that. For a lot of people, and again, this is what I always say to my clients, is that if it works for you, do it. I know a lot of my clients who have lost a significant amount of weight and still manage to eat a healthy diet by not eating until 1 p.m.
But I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's a personal preference. I think if you fucking love breakfast, if you wake up every morning and you're like, I fucking love bacon and eggs, I fucking love granola, I love yogurt,
I love all that stuff.
Right. If you love that, then don't cut that out.
Exactly.
Because you can do other things and you can be healthy in other realms. You can just eat a little bit less for each meal and you can achieve the same thing. But some people genuinely, I know actually a ton of people, I accidentally do it sometimes.
Yeah, me too.
I intermittent fast. class by accident sometimes. Now, sometimes I wake up at 8 a.m. and I want a motherfucking stack of pancakes and I let myself have it. But like, I truly believe that if it works for you, do it. If it's something that you're actively having to force yourself to do that's not enjoyable, then don't do it. You don't have to intermittent fast.
Like, if it gets to like 11 a.m. and you are starving, ravenous, fucking in a bad mood, like shouting at people and just being a miserable bitch, then eat food.
I feel like he was talking about me for a second. I'm like, that seems personal.
Just quickly, another thing as well is from a performance perspective and muscle building perspective, if one of my clients was, their goal was to build muscle and they wanted to get stronger, then I would encourage them to probably eat breakfast, because you're getting a good protein early on in the day, your muscles can use it, and your performance is going to be better. If that's not your main aim, then intermittent fasting.
What do you think about people who are working out early and also intermittent fasting? Would you actually suggest they eat before working out?
So again, you're never going to perform as well and as optimally when you're like unfed compared to fed. Like if you're fed, you're just going to lift more. You're going to, you know, recover. Like that's just that. And that's been scientifically proven. So if you're not that bothered about that and you can accept that maybe you're not going to perform as well, train and then don't eat. I mean, then you go into the whole like thing of the metabolic window after your training, getting protein in, you know, after your training and stuff. But by and large, like you said, it's about just finding what's right for you. Everything out there, all these people screaming, do intermittent fasting, do vegan diet, no, only eat meat. All these extremes are because they have an agenda. Usually it's just finding a little bit of everything, or just what is going to be most sustainable.
And I think also listening to your body is so important. I know that sounds like really cliche,
especially
or whatever.
Especially for women.
But for women, like I said, if you wake up and you're like, I just am not hungry when I wake up, I just do not like to eat, I have a cup of coffee and then I go about my day, then do that. But if you're someone that's like, oh my God, I wake up and I'm so hungry, but I'm trying not to eat because I'm trying to intermittent fast, you're not listening to your body at that point. And that automatically, I'm like, I wouldn't suggest it. And I am not in any way, shape, before I'm qualified to answer these questions, but I truly do believe as a woman I'm qualified to say, listen to your body.
I think
if you're fucking hungry, eat.
If another reason why it can work is if you, let's say, if you cut off your eating window at 7 p.m. usually most people tend to eat like bad food during the evening, right? Yeah. When you're watching TV, you've had your dinner, you're a bit bored, maybe you've got a bit of a sweet tooth, oh, I need a little craving before bed. That's normally when people eat the sugar and the cookies and stuff, right? And a little sweet tooth over here as well.
I love sugar. I sounded like Walker.
I love sugar.
It's addicting.
So again, it's another thing of like, if you do cut off your window and you're not going to eat, then that's why people, they end up not eating that kind of food. It's just, you know, it's you got to think about those kinds of things.
I literally love this app. I love this app because, listen, I've told you guys over and over, I'm trying to save money and I'm trying to be better about things that I'm buying. But at the end of the day, I'm a human and I just got to buy things, okay? The cold hard facts is that I'm just simply always going to get food, things for my new house, and just straight up everyday items like deodorant, toothpaste. Okay, I need these. I don't want to smell. I got to get them. Also, maybe a little treat for myself here every once in a while, okay? Sue me. But the trick that I've been using lately is Ibotta, because you get cash back on all these things that you were already gonna buy anyways. It's like free money. And with inflation right now, I think we can all agree that something as simple as uploading your receipt when you get back home from shopping is an easy enough task, when doing that means that you get money to spend and use towards something fun. The average Ibotta user gets up to $120 a year in just straight up cash back from shopping. Last year, I think I got around $134. That's a flight somewhere or a fancy steak dinner that you're just not going to feel guilty about. Listen, get the extra dirty martini, babe. And it's just so easy. That's the thing about Ibotta. They give you real cash back, not all those point situations that these other apps do. Real money, the green stuff that we know and love with our founding fathers on it, baby. You can put it right in your bank account, PayPal, gift cards, whatever. But it's money, not points. Places I use Ibotta the most is definitely Sephora, Lowe's now for all the house stuff that I'm getting, Best Buy for a lot of my business expenses, and so much more. And right now, Ibotta is offering my listeners $5 just by trying Ibotta by using the code PROBABLY when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play and download the free Ibotta app and use code PROBABLY. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use code PROBABLY. Someone said, I work out 5 to 6 days a week and eat healthy, but I still have cellulite and it will not go away. What do I do?
So cellulite, it is in around, about 80% of women have cellulite. Maybe I think it's 80 to 90% of women have cellulite, mm-hmm. right? It is a like a part of your body. It's in your skin. It's in your cells. I've had clients, female clients, getting down to 13% body fat, which is low for women.
Crazy.
Like low, right? These was like kind of like semi-athletes. And they still had cellulite on their body. Yes, the less body fat you have, the less visible it is going to be, because, you know, if you have more body fat, that's where the cellulite is stored. So it's going to be more visible. But do not try and train and eat and exercise to get rid of cellulite, because you're just going to be left miserable the whole time and looking at like the things that you don't like in your body. Whereas you should be looking in the mirror and going, this is my body. Like, I am unique. I am proud of this. I'm getting stronger. I'm getting fitter. I feel better. I've got more energy. My skin's looking good. Accept that cellulite is part of you. And I promise you, you'll feel so much better about it, because A, no one cares and no one's looking at you going, oh, she's got cellulite. But B, the fittest women in the world have cellulite.
Also, from a male's perspective, I don't think I've ever thought, based on the way you speak about it, based on the way that I look at my body and I've talked about things to my body, you do not care. Men do not care.
I actually, and I'm not just saying this because there's a lot of women listening to this podcast, I actually think like things like cellulite and natural curves on people and stuff is incredibly like, it's beautiful. It's part of you. It's human. It's human.
I know there's a lot of body positivity like movements right now, and I fucking love that. But I also feel like sometimes we can get we can look at someone and be like, do you really mean that? Like, is this guy that's like, I love cellulite, does he really mean this? But I swear to you guys, anytime I like look at something and I'm like, oh, I wish I could just, James is like, you'll never get rid of that. And it's fucking okay, babe. Like,
same with hip dips, you know, all these things that are part of a female anatomy to enable you to, you know, give birth and things like that. Like, it's just, it's a part of you. Same with I know like some women complain about like having the little like belly pooch. That is there because that is basically where your baby is ultimately going to be. And, and you need that in your body. Yeah. You know,
this is like, I don't know. I obviously fall victim to like comparing and like looking at like people. I follow gorgeous, you know, some of them are my friends. It's not like I'm like, oh, like only follow people that you like look up to. These are my friends and they just happen to be fucking stunning, hot, beautiful models. And like,
I'll say this right though, being in the fitness industry, most of these people that you see on Instagram who are fitness professionals, like fitness trainers who are women, I know so many of them on a personal level who have terrible eating disorders and terrible relationships with their body. And I look at their photos and go, God, her body is immaculate, but they've got all these issues that are behind the photo. And it's another thing where it's like, we need to try and stop looking up to these like perfect people on Instagram, because a lot of the time, A, they have a lot of issues going on, but it be that it's now become like the new norm for a woman to like have a six pack and be centered. That's not actually how the female body was designed.
Yeah, and here's
like,
the thing.
Obviously, if that's your goal, great, but.
Right. I think what I was going to say too is that I follow a lot of beautiful people that are actually my friends. So I'm not going to unfollow them because they're like, oh, like if they make me feel bad about myself, unfollow. Like they don't make me feel bad about myself. But sometimes I find myself at the comparison moment where I'm like, oh my God, like if my stomach could be that taut, if it could be that tight, two things I remind myself. One, half the time that shit is genetics. Two, that is like their life and they love that. And that is what their main focus on. And it's not
and like, you're looking at like the top, like what we see on Instagram, like most of these people, it's like the top 1% in the world.
I just genuinely remind myself that overall, I'm so happy. I feel healthy. I feel good. And like, I am okay that like, I might have a little bit of a pooch. I've been really trying to, like I said, I know body positivity is a huge, huge, huge movement right now, but damn it if I don't fucking understand why, because it feels so good to really just love yourself as you are when you know you're trying your hardest to be the best that you can be.
And I think that's all you can do. And I think if you're like trying to be healthy as well, I think, you know, it's promoting like healthy bodies that you love yourself. Everyone compares themselves to everyone. It's in our nature to compare. That's how we measure ourselves in life. And, you know, back in the old times, that's how we ended up, you know, getting, you know, because you have to have like some sort of like,
it's human nature. Right? It's crazy to be like, don't compare like yourself, babe.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like okay. It's like telling someone depressed, don't be sad. You're like, okay.
But I agree. I think, and I think if you go on a fitness journey just to reach a number on the scales, you will find that journey a lot less enjoyable than if you go on that journey to, yes, reach a number on scales, but you fall in love with the process of actually like learning about your body, learning, see how far you can push it and how you can nourish it with food.
Absolutely. Okay. Next question. How do I not eat my entire fridge when I'm high? Great question.
I can't
Great
say.
Great question.
I was going to say, I can't say I relate. I can relate because when I was about 14, I got super stoned in a ski resort. And
14?
Yeah. And it was one of the best feelings in the world. I got the giggles. I almost died of a heart attack. And then I had, and then I basically ate the entire contents of this fridge. Like, you know, in the Alps, it's like cheese and like salamis and parma ham and all this stuff, and I just remember and I remember just being hungry, and I'd eaten like literally a cow worth of cheese.
Oh god.
So to that point I can't relate now, but you just stop smoking weed and getting high. You can't, like, if you've got the munchies, what do you want me to? I can't give advice around, or just like eat some fruit when you're high and you've got the munchies. No, man, just get stuck in or just stop smoking weed.
Eat the gummy worms, live your life. Okay, let's see. How do you stay focused those first few weeks of working out when you're maybe not seeing any results? How do you like not stay discouraged?
Great question. So there's an analogy, and I actually might do a video on this on social media because it'll be easier when you've got a visual. But imagine I have like a wine glass in front of me now, and I've got a little, I've got eye drops, okay? And I'm just one by one, like squeezing the bottle, and the droplets are going in, right? So that's every day you stick to your diet and your training. It's another drop. You do that for 4 weeks. Imagine I do that, you know, and I squeeze the eye drop thing, the equivalent of 28 times. That glass isn't going to be that full, right? With progress. If I keep doing it and I keep doing it, eventually that glass is going to get full and full and full. Yes, you might have a bender on the weekend and a bit of that, you know, water goes out the glass and then you stack it up again. But that's what you've got to look at it like. This stuff takes time. And that's why I said earlier, it's so much better if you fall in love with the process and actually fall in love with the journey, because if you're just constantly fixated on, oh, the scales have gone up, or oh, they're not moving, or oh, I'm not seeing results, you're just going to get caught in this like really unhealthy rut. And that's when people go to extremes and try and, you know, don't eat for like 2 days, all this stuff. So just keep going. Like, consistency is everything.
Here's the thing too. I'm going to speak from the perspective of someone who didn't ever go to the gym, someone who did not like working out. I started working out with you and started using your program, and I still, and this is so honest, and I tell James this all the time, I did not love it. Like, I was not like, oh my God, I'm obsessed. I will say one thing. I did not realize that you could go to the gym and work out and not be doing a HIIT workout. Like, no shade if a HIIT workout is your favorite thing to do, but for me personally, and me personally, someone that loves a spray tan, like, I was not loving sweating my fucking dick off every day for 45 minutes. That's why I wouldn't go. I'm like, I'm out of breath. I can't keep up with the class. I feel down on myself because I don't know what the exercises are doing. I feel stupid, and now I'm sweating and I'm exhausted and I don't even feel like I got that good of a workout in. All that being said, the day I started doing your program and going to the gym the way you go to the gym and show your clients, I still wasn't like, oh my God, I'm a gym girly. Like, it did not happen for me like that. Like, I just genuinely was like, I'm just going to keep doing this because you're saying one day I'll see results and I'll like it.
But I respect that more about you because it's not your bread and butter. It's not your passion. You know, you've never been a gym girl. You're not trying to be a gym girl. But you still are giving it your best.
But I'm telling you guys, I don't know when it hit me, but like, it could have been 2 weeks. It could have been a month. I don't even fucking remember. But I remember one day being like, oh my God, it might've been when I first started seeing results. That might've been it. But I just remember being like, oh my God, this is why people do this. Oh, I actually want to go again. Oh, I actually felt really good about myself. Oh my God, I'm actually, you know what it was for me? I actually think I can pinpoint it. Before I ever physically saw results, I remember one day being able to lift like 10 pounds heavier than I
could. I was
going to
say, it was when you went up in weight from your last session and you were like, oh my God, like I'm lifting 30 pounds.
I felt so cool.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, I feel strong. And to me, everyone's their own person. Like, you might be like, oh my God, I looked way better in my jeans this week than I did last week. Like, everyone take your nuggets and take your wins for whatever they are. That's fine. But for me, I remember thinking like, ooh, she is strong. Yeah. Like, this is exciting. I would not even be able to lift 30 pounds above my head before. And now I'm like, I'm doing 8 reps. So that was my moment. So whatever your moment is, do not discredit yourself. This is, again, just speaking from my perspective. Do not discredit yourself for being like, I don't know, I don't get it. I'm going to the gym. It's 4 weeks now and I still don't love it. I really don't, I'm still not a gym girl.
And two things. That's why...
Just go because I know it's healthy for me.
That's why, like, following a program, I'm a bit biased with strength training, but I do believe that everyone should be doing some, even if you're doing, like, yoga and Pilates and swimming and cycling or whatever on the side. Like,
yeah. Do
one or two or three sessions a week. But if you can track your progress, which all my clients do, and you're, like, trying to aim for, like, 10 reps the next session, it's so much more enjoyable. The second thing is I think that... You're not always going to be lifting more and more and more and more every session, because it's unrealistic. And there'll be some sessions where maybe you're actually feeling tired, you know, because you're on a certain part of your cycle and you've got no energy and you're actually not lifting as much. But that's when it's about just showing up and still doing it.
Noom. I love it. I love it. You heard me rave about it. So let's break it down. It all starts with food, or more so eating, and what our relationship looks like with that thing. Okay. And listen, it's very personal for everyone. For some people, it can be an emotional experience. It could be something that you turn to in a high in your life. It can be something that you run to during a low in your life. But here's the thing. Everyone is different. Me personally, I go both. Like, when I'm happy, I eat. When I'm sad, I eat. I just really do emotionally eat sometimes. So when it comes to managing your weight, it makes sense that Noom has taken a very personalized psychology-based approach. Noom is really upping the game in such a positive way in regards to weight management too, because you know how a lot of those weight programs out there focus on what you're eating? Well, Noom is using science to help you understand why you eat. And those are two very different things, okay? I feel like it's very important to understand the difference, which Noom is doing right now, which they're doing with this with their psychology-based approach, which I really appreciate because obviously it's way above my pay grade, all the stuff they're doing, but I just really, really see the difference it makes. And it helps you build better habits, right? Better behaviors that are easier to maintain. Easier because they just simply become part of your day-to-day life, because that is what we should be focusing on. Not these short-term easy fixes, but truly building habits that will last a lifetime. Our whole day is just made up of tiny little habits. James is obviously in the health and fitness world, and he's always telling me these are the habits that you build that produce the real results. Not when you're just trying to change the number on a scale, but changing your mentality overall. Noom is super personalized as well. You got coaches helping you every step of the way, and they're humans. They're not robots. And the best part is you get to decide how Noom fits into your life, okay? Not the other way around. And that's really great for everyone out there, because I know a lot of people might think they're too busy for this, but I promise Noom makes it easy. They break down your eating choices to help you better understand why you might be having certain cravings. Also, the steps they give you are ones that you can apply and put into your practice and day-to-day life on day one, okay? So what are you waiting for? Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com, and sign up for your trial today. I had so many messages asking, what is your thoughts on, there is, again, I don't want to call it a craze, but there's been a lot of conversation about basing your workouts. But again, I think I already know the answer to this, because you're like, be careful for people who have agendas, who are trying to sell you a book or trying to sell you whatever. But in general, maybe a lot of people are just discussing this because women, I shouldn't be so mean and be like presumptuous, because I'm sure a lot of women are just trying to help other women out there. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of discussion about centering your workouts monthly, like every day of the month, centering it around your cycle, because obviously we know our cycle is not just the 7 days we're on our period.
Sure.
So what are your thoughts on that?
So that's, again, the thing with the female body is it's so complicated and everyone is so different. So
tell me about it, brother.
So even as a male, like trying to step into this world and understand it, like I've basically had flack from other females saying, why are you trying to talk about a menstrual cycle? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, listen, I'm trying to learn. Like, this is important for me because I have female clients.
I think it's so funny. Bless your fucking heart. What do you say in London? Or
cotton socks.
Bless your cotton socks. If a man came on here and was like, I'm not talking about menstrual cycle because I don't know about it. I don't need to know about it. Everyone would rip him apart being like, you should learn about it. You should try to learn about it for your clients. But when he's out here trying to literally learn, so he's like, babe, tell me more about your period. I'm like, get out of here. Like, because you're trying to learn. I mean, I, as a woman, which I'm allowed to speak for because I'm a fucking woman, I respect the fuck out of you learning more and delving more into women's menstrual cycles. Mm. And if you are my coach, which you are, I love that about you. I love that you are, this man is actively researching our periods, and I love that about him.
Yeah. It's because it does play a huge role in ladies' lives. Ladies' lives.
Ladies' lives.
So it's not quite that black and white. And admittedly, when I first started talking about the menstrual cycle, I also saw it as pretty black and white. And, you know, every woman falls under this category. Yes, there are definitely things that you can be doing during different periods of your cycle.
But
again, it's not quite like, right, you know, on your period days 1 to 6, you're going to be feeling shit and tired. So you should do, you know, low intensity exercise, go for a walk, shouldn't really strength train. But there's definitely barriers with it. And then you can apply those barriers within your own cycle and right. within how you feel, because you're not going to, and some people's cycles, some days cycles change every month, right? Month to month, like everyone's different. Some women have very regular ones and it's very easy and they can train and they know when to do this. Others, it's all over the place. So as a general rule of thumb, and I say this general, you have your period, which is generally where you don't really want to train too hard. You know, you've got low energy. Your hormones are kind of pretty low. And I
personally experienced a lot of lower back pain during my period. Exactly. And that's like difficult for me. I feel like I hurt my back. It's hard to train when I feel like my back is literally injured.
Exactly. Then you move on to the follicular phase, which is when you can start. Again, this is just generally speaking, you start increasing the intensity a bit. Maybe you can do some light sessions. You know, you're still doing like cardio and stuff. Then you've got the ovulatory phase, which is kind of, for most women, the phase where you can go hard. You can try hit PBs. You can strength
Not
train.
Not us ovulating, just being like, give us everything. No,
because you do. Damn. Like your
a lot of women are more horny when they're ovulating.
Your estrogen has increased, your progesterone. Estrogen's increased, your progesterone levels are increasing. Then, so that's like key time. Then again, generally speaking, you go into your luteal phase, which some women can still have the energy and still train hard. Others, they start to kind of, because your hormones like start going like decreasing again, that's when you take the foot off the brake a little bit if you need to. So that's like a general
I think
overview.
Essentially you're saying listen to your body.
Yeah.
Like exactly. Listen to your body. When I'm miserable on my period, if I don't feel like going hard in the paint, then I don't. And if I am ovulating and I'm like, I have extra energy, I might decide, you know what, I'm gonna go to Barry's boot camp. I'm
exactly
crazy.
And take advantage of the times in the month where you do have loads of energy and you're feeling on top of the world, right. and then when you're not, then do what's appropriate.
But there's no rule book. There's no, like, all these people that are selling, like I said, his agenda that he's talking about, not his agenda, but those agendas he's talking about where people are like, okay, follow this guide. Week one, do this. Week two, do this. Like,
check out my book that I've also written on this for $9.99. You know,
it's like, just never going to work for every person the same way. So listen to your body. I think that's the main goal.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to sprinkle some relationship questions in. Are you
Let's
okay with
it.
This?
Let's do it.
Okay.
A little change of scenery.
A little change of pace. What are your thoughts on, this is also just like a male, someone said, I have a question for him as a male.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on if he wanted to, he would? Like, you know how girls say that?
Yeah.
Like, if he wanted to, he would.
Right.
It means when
it comes to like dating or like texting back and
like, just remember,
like that,
if he wanted to, he would in all aspects. Like I say you were the king of meeting someone who, if he wanted to, he would, because like you literally were like planning trips to other countries and figuring things out. And you're like, damn sis, if he wanted to, he would.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts on that versus like women taking the initiative? Because I think that phrase, if he wanted to, he would, has taken this interesting turn where women are like, if he wanted to, he would. So do not text him, sister. It's like people have kind of gone extreme. So she said, what are your thoughts on if he wanted to, he would versus girls taking the initiative and texting first, etc.?
Like, I don't think, I'm very much a believer that you get a sense from a person pretty quickly in terms of if they're interested or not. So do what's true to you. Don't not text a guy because you're like, well, if he was into me, then he would text me first. No, if you like a guy, text him first, organize a date. Like, if that's who you are and that's what you want, do it. If he then doesn't reciprocate and you can tell the vibe is off, and then maybe you've done that a few times and you're not getting anything back.
Don't talk yourself into it.
That's when you know, okay, I've given everything, he hasn't, so it's time to move on and find someone who's in.
No, but you're right. Like, if genuinely, if he didn't want, I think that's where the phrase comes from. If he wanted to, he would. And so if you're texting someone, text him first, do whatever. But like, if you're having, and I would do this all the time, so I'm guilty of this. I'd be like, okay, he hasn't texted me back, but that's because I know that he's at practice right now, so XYZ. And then I'd be like, okay, I'll text him again. And then I'd be like, okay, like, he didn't text me back again. Right away, he waited like 2 days, but that's because blah, blah, blah. And then I would make excuses for them. And that's when you should know if he wanted to, he would.
Exactly. And I think like,
stop convincing yourself.
Having like when we met and we were together and we were texting each other, I never once thought about, like, obviously, like, there were some times when I was like, I'd write a message out and I'd delete it. I'd be like, oh, no, I need to, you know, that kind of thing you get. But I never once in my head was like, oh, do I text her now? Do I not? It just, I can't describe it, but it just, it feels like totally natural when I guess you're comfortable with yourself and you're not afraid to give without getting something back because you just know that that will be a lesson. So I think that's probably... I also think
if you're confused, it ain't it, sis. Because when I met him, there was no confusion on the table. I mean, obviously we were long distance, so immediately we had to like have conversations that were a lot more aggressive than most people. But like men, God bless them, they're not that confusing. They're pretty straight fucking forward. So if you are confused...
We are very, very straightforward.
If you're confused, there's your answer. Like, there's your answer. I know everyone's like, oh, we've listened to 1,000 motherfucking podcasts that have said that, Shannon. But like, it's true.
Don't hang around as well too long. Like, if it's... Don't try and force something. Like, I'm guilty of this, and I've been guilty of this with girls in the past, is I've tried to convince myself the good in them. And then I've tried to like chase that and keep that alive and convince myself that they were... you know, what I was after. And ultimately that never ends up working. So, you know, find someone who genuinely wants you.
Yeah. Someone said, how did your dating mindset help you find Shannon? Like, what was your mindset when you were dating? And then that led you to finding me. I don't think you were trying to find anyone.
Yeah, I wasn't. I've historically been like a relationship guy.
Yeah.
I've kind of jumped from like a relationship and then like being single for a bit and then going to another relationship. So I've never like serial dated, but I guess that question is tricky because I wasn't looking for anything. And that's, I guess, when it came and slapped me in the face, this pretty old ginger girl. But I mean, I guess lessons for me from previous relationships is, you can't save people. If you're there and you're the savior, that's your role. That's never going to last because people need to help themselves before they can commit to a relationship. You can't go into a relationship with someone
no
like super. I mean, you obviously do get broken people, and that's a challenge in itself. And not everyone's perfect, but if you're spending your whole time basically like trying to like heal this person and help them, it's not going to last. Like, it's draining.
Yeah, and I also just think, like, we've talked about this before, but, like, not the fly in the room. Not the fly in our new house.
This guy's been around for about 2 weeks.
I know, he's got some stamina. I think, like you said, helping people that you love is important, but when someone's not willing to, in your relationship, work, like, help themselves and do the work themselves, and you could be with someone who's broken or has some parts about them that they need to fix, and then it is their responsibility to... try their fucking hardest to also help themselves.
Yeah.
This podcast episode is sponsored by Care Of. All right, if you are a girly pop who has been popping and girling since day one, then you know, if you've been following me, that I have been using Care Of vitamins for legit years. I actually think it's been about 5 years now. And I love these things for a multitude of reasons. The outside of it is literally personalized with your name on the packets, but also on the inside, it's completely personalized for what your body needs, okay? You just take this easy, tiny, tiny little 5-minute quiz, ask you a lot about your body, lifestyle, day-to-day consumptions, and your health goals. Now, here's the thing. You got to be really honest on this part, okay? Like, it's going to ask you how many drinks are you having in a week? And we got to be honest, okay? Because when you are honest, your pack reflects what you want, all these supplements, okay? So in my pack, I have magnesium, which is helpful because you can be deficient in magnesium when you consume alcohol. I've got ashwagandha for concentration, B12 for energy, and probiotics for my gut health. Everyone needs good gut health, okay? And I can see a serious difference in my digestion when I'm consistency is key, taking my Care Of vitamins. Each shipment comes with customized pamphlet showing you exactly what's in your individual daily packs and why it was recommended specifically for you and your health goals, which was, by the way, personalized by doctor-backed recommendation, taking all the guesswork out of the supplements and what's best for you. Also, for all of us trying to care about sweet little Mother Earth more, take comfort in knowing that Care Of's daily vitamin packs are made of plant-based compostable film, so you can stress less about your impact on the environment. Now, I'm always traveling, so these individual packs that are already made up with everything I need is so much more convenient than packing a bunch of different pill bottles or one of those long things you open. It's just like a whole thing. And you already know that I got it hooked up with a discount code. So for 50% off your first Care of order, go to takecareof.com and enter code PROBABLY50. That's a whopping 50% off your first order by heading to takecareof.com and entering code PROBABLY50.
Yeah, this was my biggest problem. If you see red flags, like big red flags, early doors, get out of there. Because again, like I convinced myself so much, like major red flags. Oh no, she'll change. No, it's fine. It's fine. And they just didn't ever go away. And they came back all at once, 10 times harder, punched me in the face. And I was like, shit, I need to get out of here.
It's a Southern phrase. If it was a snake, it would have bit you.
Exactly.
But you know what? I've seen your exes. They're really gorgeous. So I could get how you would just like let the red flags go out.
Yeah.
It's a thing, you know, like we've all let red flags go. We're like, oh my God, he's over fucking 6'2".
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God, he's tall. Let's ignore the red flags. Okay. All right. Let's go back to another health and fitness one. Can you explain what cortisol is?
Yeah. It's a stress hormone.
Okay. So how do you like lessen your stress hormones? And then that can like feed nicely into someone that said, why are you always walking on grass and talking about it? Can you explain like your obsession with walking on grass? You know, it's a phrase now, you know, people say this to like trolls, like someone will like
go for a walk on some grass. Walk on some grass.
No, bless. Oh, he's trying. Someone will say something mean and they'll go, oh my God, fucking touch grass.
Right.
It's really
kind of
funny.
The same thing, right?
No. Go for a walk on some grass. Why don't you?
All right,
everyone's like,
all right.
Nice comeback.
All right. Okay.
Anyways.
Cortisol, your body produces it every single morning when you wake up, because that's how your body wakes up.
Stress.
Yeah, your cortisol levels rise naturally. Not like if that's the issue. These days, when we wake up to alarms going, like that is fucking throwing your cortisol through the roof.
Oh my God, get like, one of those hatch alarms.
They are so good.
They need a. We have meditative flute for ours, but the light wakes you up.
We lie there and we're like.
I'm like, Loki, I'm like, we had a flute, like.
Wake up so chilled. I'm like, I feel like I'm high. I'm like, ooh. So, and then there's lots of artificial things that elevate cortisol levels. So for example, that's why when you wake up first thing in the morning, you want to try and avoid looking at emails and texts and stuff that Shannon does every morning.
I love it.
Massively increases cortisol levels like faster than they should. Like it's good to let it naturally rise. That's why I try, and also you want to get morning sunlight as soon as you can, because that helps suppress the melatonin, which is your sleep hormone, and boost cortisol and dopamine. And
what are your thoughts? And this is a question from me to you. Here's why I do it. I wake up in the morning, and James, he's so good. He's so health conscious. He wakes up, he goes and gets either in the shower or walks outside and gets sunlight. And I think to myself, I am so sleepy. I want to lay in this bed. Ooh, ooh, ooh. It feels so good.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Who's on Instagram this morning?
No, the only thing that wakes me up is getting on my phone. Like it immediately, and I know probably in a bad way, but like it immediately wakes me up. I get up and I'm like, oh my God, emails, Instagram. Like now I'm like consciously awake. Boom, I'm awake. And now I can get out of bed.
It's so bad for your system, for your system. Like you joke about it and you're like, no, but that's the only way I wake up. Like it's actually,
I should try the other way.
I would say that it's quite harmful. It's the same as lying on your phone with blue lights before bed. It's just delaying melatonin. So
and
you're
you
not
know
sleeping.
What? I've gotten so good about not doing that, because I truly was not going to sleep until midnight. And I was truly like lying awake being like, I cannot sleep. And you guys, the motherfucking day that I learned Google how to put your phone into red light mode. And if you're watching this, watch, I'm clicking my phone 3 times. Boom. It's in red light.
It's the
it
best.
Removes all the blue light from your phone. Yeah.
Then you can still be on your phone again. But no one's perfect, right?
No one's perfect, and it's fine.
I scroll sometimes at night. I also sometimes check my phone in the morning.
But to your point, you're right. The day I stopped doing that, like now before bed, I will not get on my phone before bed, because I'm like, I know that will not let me go to sleep. So I like take like the 10, and it's really not that long. It's like 10 or 15 minutes before bed. I truly do not get on my phone. Or if I am on my phone, that motherfucker is in red light mode. And so I have noticed a significant difference. So in my head, I'm like, I should.
Haven't you been like sleeping a lot better?
So much better. So exactly. I should give the morning, don't look at your phone right away, a you know, chance, because maybe I'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe I never
just
did
try
this.
It. It's just like you just wake up a lot calmer. And I know you like to be like on high alert, and that's how you operate, which is great. But it's literally like the first half an hour of your morning.
Do you know what someone just messaged me and told me, which I thought was really interesting? So I said in my last podcast, my solo podcast, I said, I don't know why I keep things into the last minute, like procrastination. I don't know why I do it, but like when I was prepping for my live shows, the first one, the Nashville one, like I obviously like prepped a good bit in advance, but these like New York, DC ones, even packing, I was like, I knew I should pack and I knew like a week before, but for some reason I truly waited until the day of, and then I was able to get it all done. And someone said a symptom of ADHD is that you really feel like such a reward, mm-hmm. a sense of reward from completing tasks. And even though we would feel probably that same sense of reward from completing them ahead of time and not procrastinating, we put them off for so long.
It's like a challenge.
Yep. Because we get this high off ticking the box off. I mean, like, yeah. I did it because you know you have no other option but to do it. And then you're like,
do you have ADHD? I don't know.
I'm probably self-diagnosing. Like I said, I've never technically been. And honestly, I've never been like prescribed Adderall or anything. I've just like abused it my entire life. I haven't taken it in a really long time. But like, because most people when I'm on it are like, oh my God, please shut the fuck up. So maybe I don't know what I have, because when I take Adderall, people say I'm worse. So yeah. I don't know. But I also just think Adderall is a really scary pill. But all I'm saying is like, I would procrastinate because I genuinely feel this like sick high off of like completing a task. So anyways, I should really do some introspective work. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, interesting.
It's all interesting.
But just quickly to finish on the cortisol thing, like stress is also demonized, but actually we need stress, and our bodies have stress responses for very valid reasons. Back, you know, the fight or flight mode, right?
Right.
It's survival ultimately. But the problem is with society today is that there's so many things that cause unnatural stress. And then the problem with stress is if you're highly stressed and then you're not sleeping well and all this stuff, it affects things like your blood sugar levels, and you might have low blood sugar levels if you have high cortisol, and that's when you go and reach for like the fatty foods, which is why people stress eat. Like some people, like when I'm stressed, I don't eat, I don't have an appetite. But other people, when they're stressed, because they're craving like sugary stuff, will eat on that. And it's all kind of scientific.
And it's all so personal. And I talk about this before. I mean, like, you either like feel happiness and sadness and you eat, or you don't eat, or you eat during both, or you only eat one during one. Like it is so personalized. Like it's so individual.
Yep. Yep. Same with like emotional eating and all that, and, and binge eating. It's a fucking minefield.
It is. You guys, I am the saltiest little girl you will literally ever meet in your life, but for not the same reasons you're thinking right now. I am so excited that I get to work with this brand because I have been a lover of their products for a very long time now. You know me, I am the consumer. I'm also self-proclaimed not a great water drinker, okay? So Element is legit the queen of electrolyte replacement. It is spelled like L-M-N-T. I feel like you guys have all probably seen it everywhere right now, okay? Biggest thing that sets them apart from the other electrolyte drink mixes, there's absolutely no sugar, zero, just salt to replace all the lost sodium. And there's no artificial ingredients, no coloring, no fillers, no gluten, honestly, just no BS. The reason that it's so important to have electrolytes in our system, by the way, is because they facilitate so many different functions in your body. Okay, you ready? I'm about to sound like a scientist. The conductive of nerve impulses, hormonal regulation, nutrient absorption, and fluid balance. Now, I am actually no scientist, and all those things are definitely way above my pay grade, but let me tell you, I know that they are definitely important. So I personally love chugging a little bit of Element mix in my water before and after I drink alcohol, because it has always just helped me have no headache the next day. Also, it helps with sleeplessness, so I love that. James is obsessed with Element after his workouts because when you sweat, you are losing a lot of electrolytes, and it's the loss of sodium. So we got to replace all that so we don't get cramps, fatigued, all the other annoying things that come with working out, okay? We got pro athletes using it. We got Olympic athletes using it. Navy SEALs even drink it. So you know it's the good stuff. Right now, Element is offering my listeners a free sample pack with any purchase. So that's 8 single serving packets for free with any Element order, which this is a great way to try all the 8 flavors or share Element with a salty friend. Get it at drinkelement.com/probably. The deal is only available through my link, by the way. You have to go to drinkelement.com/probably. Also, Element offers no questions asked refunds, so try it all totally risk-free. If you don't like it, share it with a salty friend and they will give you your money back, no questions asked. You've literally got nothing to lose, so head to drinkelement.com/probably. Okay, someone was asking, is it a myth that you can speed up your metabolism, or is there a way you can speed up your metabolism, or is it only genetic?
It's a myth. You can't speed up your metabolism. I saw the other day saying, jumpstart your metabolism with this juice diet. I was like, jumpstart? I'm like, what? I'm not a car. I can't like restart the car. Like we're
you
human.
You sound so British right now. Jumpstart my car.
We're human beings. So no, you can't. Metabolism literally is when your body is digesting food, that is when your metabolism. Some people genetically have faster metabolisms. Some people have slower metabolisms. Yes, genetics does play a role, but if you're like blaming your genetics for a slow metabolism, it's probably not going to be beneficial to how you do it. Obviously, if you're healthy and you're active and you're lifting weights, that helps your body digest food, you know,
yeah,
better because it needs it. But no,
also it's drinking fucking water, which I self-proclaimed hate drinking water. You know this about me. I'm so bad about it. Every time I drink water, yeah, stinky peas. Every time I drink enough water, which like I thought I was getting sick after my live shows in DC and New York, so I like was chugging water. I am like, boy, oh boy, do I digest my food better. Like my poops are fantastic. Like it is crazy what just, like you said, doing a couple extra healthy things can help you with your digestion, aka metabolism.
Breakfast doesn't boost your metabolism or kickstart your metabolism. It's all nonsense. If you see any of that, it's nonsense.
Nonsense. Okay. What is, and we can wrap this up soon, but what is a habit that you want? I'm actually nervous for him to answer this because I feel like every once in a while he'll be like, babe, I've decided, and he'll say something fucking wild that he wants to do. And I'm like, no, that sounds terrible. Not that he's asking me to do it with him, but I'm like, don't do that. But I'm going to ask anyways. Maybe it can be big. Maybe it can be small. What is a habit that you really want to break, and how will you go about proactively trying to break that habit?
So not starting a new one, but like breaking a bad one.
Yeah. What's a habit you'd really like to break? Like for me, I could say like, I'd like to stop waking up and immediately going on my phone.
It's so, for me, the biggest thing is like, I tend to like nibble on my nails when I'm stressed.
Oh my God. This is actually so small. I thought he was going to be like, I want to cut out alcohol 100%. I'd be like, no.
I mean like, because I don't have a bad relationship with alcohol, but when I'm stressed, I nibble my nails. And you know what it is?
It's actually really pure. I like that about you.
I was actually reading about
it. Don't stop like, doing it.
It's your body like, it's a cognitive like reaction with your brain when you feel a bit stressed to like chew because it's like a calming thing, but actually it's not doing anything to calm you down. It's just like an ingrained response. I mean, my nails aren't bad. I'm not like a chronic nail biter, but
I've never ever bit my nails ever. But here's the crazy thing. I feel like people would say they bite their nails, but they're really biting the skin around their nails. Like the cuticles and all that kind of stuff is what people are like biting when they're stressed. Actually, that felt kind of nice. I just did that. I feel like I'm chewing on a Polly Pocket shoe. I really like that.
You turn into a Novi.
Ooh, I really, oh my God. Yeah. Taylor's
chewing on fingers.
Taylor's youngest Novi is the only kid she's ever had who doesn't want a passy. She'd rather like just chew on her fingers.
What about you? What's a bad habit you want
to
break?
I mean, I'd love to give it a go to just like not immediately open Gmail and open Instagram whenever I wake up in the morning. That'd be a solid good try. Something else I would like to break.
Hey, you've been keeping up with the mouth tape.
Yeah, I've been keeping up with mouth tape. I'd like to.
Until you're ill, and I woke up this morning, you were.
Yeah, but I've been like, okay, relax. I was like, what was I like?
I was like, damn, I can smell her stomach.
Oh my God. You know, I've gotten really good. It's baby steps for me. Baby steps. Like, I stopped with negative comments. I like to interact with and speak with people so much on my Instagram and like DMs and everything. And I have 99.9% of people are like literally the nicest people in the world. Mm. And I get the funniest DMs like, oh my God, my cat cries all the way on the way to the vet. But when I play your podcast, he literally stops crying. I turn it off, take a call. He starts crying. Your voice soothes my cat. Yes. Someone messaged me that today.
Nuts.
And I'm like, I am better for knowing that. Like knowing that makes me a happier person. So if I didn't read my DMs, damn, I wouldn't know that. You know what I mean? But then I read a DM that's like, oh my God, can't you tell your boyfriend doesn't even like you? And I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck, Jessica? And so I wish I could pay someone to like go through my DMs.
I know, it's so true.
And delete
so
the mean true ones, and I would only see the nice ones. I really wish there was a way, because I got to a point the other day where I was like, I'm just gonna turn my DMs off. Then I'm like, no, because they're so much nicer. But you know, it's baby steps and letting other people affect me. Like I've gotten so much better about like, I love getting in full glam for my podcast sometimes, but then sometimes I like do this and I'm like, I don't fucking care anymore.
Do you know what's so nice? What's a really good thing? And it's like, I now, if anyone says anything negative that's like mean directly about me or my life or whatever, I just go swipe across, block. It's so liberating. I'm not like, oh, actually they can keep watching my content and get me views. I'm just, I've now got like 200 people, 300 people. I've got the numbers are going, I'm just so savage because I'm like, I don't want you anywhere near my sphere.
Yeah, atmosphere. Anna Grace would say, if you were listening to HU University, she would say, do not, it's like the welcome mat for negativity. Like, I have this like weird need sometimes, because also I think my responses are really funny sometimes. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to respond to them and put them
sometimes
in their place.
Yeah, you have to.
I don't know. Sometimes you just have to. Sometimes I always love the meme that's like, I don't always have the time of day, but sometimes I have the time. But I think it's like, it's so liberating, which then again, some trolls are like, oh, she saw my message. She blocked me. And it's like, well, yeah, I blocked you. Like, I literally don't care. Make 4 more accounts. Spend your time outside of your job, outside of when you should be hanging out with your kids or spending time with your pets or your family.
Hey, you don't want to be in the limelight.
No, I mean, you're right. It's like instead of doing that, if they want to make 100 more fake accounts to berate you, sure. But like, just keep blocking them.
It's so fun. I actually take enormous pleasure.
Yeah, just block them. So I'm trying to get better about that. Like, if I could break a habit, it would be to like letting people get to me. But like, I don't look at website anymore. I just look at my DMs.
I saw a pretty controversial guy on Twitter, and he said he went through a period. He was blocking 500 accounts a day.
Oh my God.
Like his team were. Like,
and I thought I had haters.
Yeah, exactly. So.
But his team was like Taylor.
No, eventually, like if I had 500, I can employ someone to go through it, and I say, listen, just buckle in, lad.
Oh my God, maybe I could hire someone just to like weed out my really mean comments. That would be nice, because I love the nice
ones.
They
would literally go home and be like, Mom, the world is a cruel, cruel place.
Yeah, oh my God. I would like get a basket of like cookies sent to me, and I'd be like, what are these for? And the girl that would like is blocking people for me would be like, nothing. Don't worry about it. I can't tell you. You're like, oh, okay. Anyways, yeah, so I'd love to like not focus on the negative as much as I focus on the positive.
It's the same with people in real life, though. Like, if you have, what would you do to someone who's like constantly like belittling you in real life? You just remove them from your life.
You're so right. You know? You would. You wouldn't hang around someone that was always mean. Okay. I think I have one more relationship one. And that is, why do you think, someone specifically wrote, why do you think Shannon is the most stunning, gorgeous, talented, and hilarious person you've ever met? I didn't write, no. Just kidding. Okay, you guys, we're at an hour. We can end it. We have not eaten dinner because I was like, we have to record this podcast.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Oh, you know what? Give one finance. This is a finance podcast, as you guys know. So give one financial tip.
Yeah, we need some. We need to sit down and do some finances, girl.
I went to go look at shrubs today. I'm like, why do these cost $1 million?
Yeah. So what was the question?
Give me one financial tip.
Put money aside before you spend it, not after you spend it.
Okay, shut the fuck up. All right, thank you guys so much for listening to
thank me later when it grows and doubles and triples, and you're making money whilst you're asleep.
Okay, that's, I can't wait to fall asleep tonight. I love you guys. Thank you for listening. I hope this was informational. I hope it was educational, and I hope that you guys enjoyed it a little bit, because he's really smart, he's really talented, and he's so fucking hot. So we gotta listen to him.
And guys, if you ever have any questions, just DM me. If you want to check out my programs, DM me. Check out my website. It's a cool ass community.
Following the Coach James Club.
Women doing amazing things.
Yeah, following the Coach James Club and being a part of it, and genuinely like watching the community thrive the way they do. Like, they message each other. They have a whole group chat where they all chat and talk.
Yeah, they're awesome.
It's really cool. It's really awesome. They're really there for each other. You're there for them. I watch you on the phone. Like, I'm never like, obviously, I just, if I'm walking up to hand them a sandwich or some crazy dumb domestic shit like that, I'll like hear you on the phone with your clients, and I'm like, oh my God, you genuinely are just so there for them, and they're so appreciative of you. And
my team are great as well. I have an awesome team. It's not all just me, I have a great team.
You have an incredible team, and I just think truly following a program, if you're ever like, where the fuck do I start? You can start by following a program.
Even if it's like 4 weeks, it could change a lot.
Listen, always plug. Join the Coach James Club.
See you in there.
See you in there. Love you guys.